Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, celebrating Easter all week long here, and we're going to do it next week as well at this this good news, the good news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and that he's alive, and that he's now been vindicated, as St. Paul said. Everything Jesus taught about reality, about human life, about its origin, its purpose, its destiny, everything he revealed to us about God the Father and God's nature and who God is, everything Jesus revealed to us about the kingdom of darkness and the fallen world that we inhabit and the temptations of the human heart and the foolishness that dominates human life because of our pride and our sinfulness, all the stuff that Jesus spoke about and his promise of a future kingdom, his promise that he would rise from the dead, that he would begin a new creation, that humanity's future was with him and with him alone. He was vindicated, Scripture tells us, by the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Everything Jesus said is true because he passed from death to life like he said he would. And he's now at the right hand of the Father in glory where he reigns in power. The apostles are so clear about this. And the Catechism, paragraph 668, puts it this way: Christ died and lived again that he might be both Lord of the dead and of the living. That's taken from Romans chapter 14, where St. Paul says, "For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of the dead and of the living." The fundamental truth that will never, ever be changed, will ever disappear, is the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. All power and authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus Christ. And friends, all our efforts, sometimes I think about how enamored we get in our limited vision here on earth. We get enamored by all our great power, the big bombs we can make or the big rockets we can send up or the glorious structures we can build. And we're just enamored by the work of our own hands to the point where we forget God. And what's most important is us and our worldview and our dreams and our desires. And God gets pushed to the margins, which is what's happening in spades in our culture right now. We're so wise and we're so smart. We're saying more than probably any other time in the history of our country, definitively boasting and pounding our chests and saying, God doesn't exist. And if he does, he's kind of irrelevant anyway, because we don't like the way history's gone and we think he's botched it somehow. And everything's better in our own hands. The mockery of God is present deep, deep in the culture in refusing to acknowledge God. And then wisdom itself comes to us, truth, life, in the person of Jesus Christ. And he's the absolute opposite. His Father consumes his horizon. God is the goal of Jesus' entire life, loving God and loving neighbor. He demonstrates humility. He washes our feet, right? He humbled himself, became a servant, being born in the likeness of men. You know, he said not long ago in one of the readings at church, he said, you know, that Jesus didn't come to lord it over people. He came to serve, to obey the Father. That's who he first served. He serves the Father and the will of the Father. And he serves us as well towards salvation. He doesn't serve our every whim and desire. He's not our butler. He's our Lord. And he laid down his life in an act of love that broke the power of all the anti-love and pride that dominates the world and dominates every human heart. And he broke that dominion over human hearts. And everyone who says yes to Jesus, who gives their life to him, and as God the Father spoke so clearly on the day of Christ's transfiguration, he told Peter, James, and John, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him." Jesus alone, friends, has the wisdom for life, has the wisdom for fulfillment and ultimate happiness. And the world is at war against it. But in the resurrection, we need to see, like St. Paul said, that Jesus has been vindicated. Everybody else is still in the ground who stood against him who proclaims a different gospel, who insists on pursuing their own idols. The great reality that's unfolding in the world, the story, is the story of Jesus and the battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. That's the biggest story. That's the most impactful story. Everyone's in that drama. No one can escape it. There's two outcomes to this story. There's an outcome that leads to death and eternal destruction, and there's an outcome that leads to sharing in the resurrected reality and the glory and the new humanity that has begun in Jesus. This is what the Father, your Father, my Father, whether you acknowledge him as that or not, God the Father, your Creator, this is the provision that he's made for you and for me. There is no other. There is no other future apart from those ends. Eternal separation from God, as St. Peter preached this week in the Acts reading that we read at Mass, he said, flee the wrath to come. There's a wrath and a judgment that's coming upon the world. And God is offering a way to escape final judgment by the Lord himself. His mercy is here. His mercy to save us is here. As I said yesterday, Jesus showed us what a response to God looks like on the cross. What human life is meant to be, it's radical obedience to God. Friends, you want to live a fulfilled life. You want to find happiness. You want to find joy. You want to find fulfillment. You want to find absolute freedom and love. That's what you want. You want all of it. And Jesus from Calvary on that cross is addressing that very desire in you. He's speaking to you and he's saying, look at me. This is where you will find all that you're seeking. In obedience to my Father. Follow me. Follow me with everything you have. Put down your crowns. Put down your idols. Stop genuflecting to the world. Stop frantically pursuing the attention of the world. Stop trying to fill the hole deep inside you that no money, no success, no accomplishment, no in-group, nothing could ever fill. Because you're made for so much more. You're made for God. You're made for a destiny so much greater. And that's what we see in the resurrection, in the celebration of Easter. And St. Paul's saying, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The life that you're trying to find, the success you're trying to achieve, the greatness you're trying to accomplish, you're trying to find wholeness and integrity and complete peace. You're never going to find it here. It's impossible because it's only found in God. And it's given to those who are found hidden with Christ in God. Christ is giving us a share in the intimate union that he has with God. The question is, do we want it? And friends, we absolutely have to see. It does not come to us cheap and it does not come to us easy. We have to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We have to radically, radically embrace obedience to God. We have to turn from sin. We've got to make war on sin. We've got to hate sin the way Jesus hated sin and the way God hates sin. We've got to stop the silly, stupid idolatry, the love of money, the love of power, the love of sex of every kind, the love of being able to create reality in whatever way we want. This is insanity. It's human pride, subject to the slavery that it falls into when it relies on its own resources, the slavery to the world, the flesh, and the devil. There is no hope in man. There's only hope in God. You have one life to live, and it's going to be over very soon. And then whatever your life became, what's the word your life is? What's the message of your life? Are you a tweener? Are you standing half in the kingdom and half in the world? Are you fearing God or are you fearing man? Are you taking pleasures mainly in this world? Are you preoccupied with yourself and your own pleasure, your own ideas, your own comfort, your own fame, whatever it is, and occasionally you throw God a bone? Friends, we're living at a time where the world is turning against. I mean, the world here was never perfect. It always was fallen. But the kingdom of God and its effect on culture had brought many people to respect God and the things of God. But that's going away very, very fast. People are turning away from God. Their hearts are being hardened. They're in a profound spiritual battle. And what's happening is God is revealing the true condition of the hearts of men and women in our day, in the church and outside the church, your heart and mine. There's a pruning that's going on in the church. There's a lot of rotten fruit. Jesus said, right? You judge a tree by its fruit. And he said that bad fruit's going to be cut down. It's going to be cut away. The Lord is pruning his church because he wants his church to grow. Why does the church exist? To love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors, ourselves, and to make disciples of all nations. That's why the church exists. That's why we were given, in part, the gift of the Holy Spirit, to lead that radical kingdom reality on earth. And how many people who are baptized are running after the world and not after the kingdom? How many baptized people have no interest in taking a stand for the church and for Christ and his kingdom? How many are just deathly afraid of even mentioning the J word, the name of Jesus, among friends? Jesus is revealing our hearts. He reveals it when he's allowing the world, he's allowing human beings to have their way. And that usually means great hostility to the church. And that hostility is going to lead to trial, marginalization, discomfort. It's going to mean potentially persecution of various kinds. And that's going to determine who's with him and who's against him. The resurrection and glory is for those who live and die in Christ. It's not an automatic. I like the words of Lee Camp. He's talking about the radical level of Christianity, what it means to bear the cross and follow Jesus. He said, the believer's cross is no longer any and every kind of suffering, sickness, or tension, the bearing of which is demanded. The believer's cross must be, like his Lord's, the price of social nonconformity. It is not, like sickness or catastrophe, an inexplicable, unpredictable suffering. It is the end of a path freely chosen after counting the cost. It is not an inward wrestling of the sensitive soul with self and sin. It's the social reality of representing in an unwilling world the order that is to come, the order of the rule of God in Jesus Christ. Friends, this is a moment in the life of the church when social nonconformity is being demanded. Because wide circles of the human society and values and the rest are running against the kingdom of God. And Jesus wants to know, what are you going to do? If we want to inherit what belongs to him, the resurrection and glory and eternal life, we have to listen to Paul and say, set your mind on things above. Pursue the truth and the wisdom of God and obey him like Jesus. Follow him to Calvary. And you'll enter glory. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.